If he's alive, he hears you when you worship. If he's alive, he sees your outstretched arms and hands. Oh, let's worship him. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He walks the aisles amongst the candlesticks of the churches. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless Jesus, living Lord, Son of Man, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy, 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 worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said to his readers, you've turned from idols to serve the living God. And I thought of, as they sang, the opposite is happening today. People are turning from serving the living God back to dead idols. Aren't you glad you serve the living Christ? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him again across the building. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Lord and Master and Savior. Hallelujah. 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 What a spirit in the house. You can remain standing and just get your Bibles and we'll go to John 19. I pray this spirit will continue through the preaching, and then as we come to the table together, receive the Lord's communion. Good to see everybody this Sunday morning. Good to see Brother Chuck Allison with us. Amen. Others that are worshiping with us. Amen. A lot of things happening. I just want to go ahead with the word, so get a bulletin or watch the announcements after service. Amen. Well, I believe God is going to continue the move of his spirit and touch us in a special way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I keep feeling in my heart, just kind of hearing the words, preach for a change. In other words, for change to happen in our hearts this morning. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to leave here differently? Praise God. I'm not reading these verses to particularly preach from them. I'm just reading them to call attention to the place, the spot on planet Earth where Jesus was crucified. That place where his cross was erected and bore his body. John 19, verse 17. And he, Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one and Jesus in the midst. Now there stood by the cross, this is verse 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Everyone that I read to you about, and there were others, they had one thing in common that day. They were at the cross. They were at the cross. And I want to preach this morning at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I just heard something else. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Hallelujah. At the cross. Let's praise him. Could we praise him before we preach? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, speak to us by the Spirit of God. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be uplifted. Be uplifted as Savior and healer and deliverer. Be uplifted in our hearts, our minds, our very emotions. Be uplifted, oh God, for the cold, the distant. Be uplifted, Lord, to the lukewarm, the apathetic. Be uplifted, Lord, to the hurting, the empty, the confused, the struggling. Be uplifted in our hearts, and may we come to your cross afresh. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning at the cross. Jesus was crucified at Passover time. Passover time for the Jews and at Jerusalem would be big, real big, like our Christmas time. And being Passover time, people flocked from miles and miles around and swamped the city. A lot of family things going on. A lot of festivities taking place. A lot of meetings, even in the temple amongst the Sanhedrin. A lot of meetings were happening at Passover time. But can I tell you, whatever was happening inside the city was not near as important as what was happening outside the city. Amen. It's a time of the Roman Empire. A lot of important people, important things were happening. No doubt that day in Caesar's court, in the imperial palace, they're holding sessions. Maybe the Roman Senate that ruled the world was in session, making laws. Lots of things happening in the capital of that empire called Rome. But can I tell you what was happening inside Caesar's court that day was not near as important as what was happening in that little spot of earth outside of Jerusalem. What was happening? Jesus was dying. Jesus was dying on the cross. In fact, in all, not just that day, but in all of human history, anywhere, at any time, nothing as important happened as has happened at that cross 2,000 years ago. I know the wood of that cross has been rotted. I know that folks and even archaeologists are unsure of the exact spot. I know that most of us will never take a trip to the Holy Land to be able to stand in the vicinity. But I want you to know what happened that day on the cross was the most important thing that has ever happened on planet Earth and in human history. Amen. Not just important in human history, but it's the most important thing that has ever happened in your history. At the cross. Many things happened at the cross that day. The soldiers that crucified Christ gambled over his garments. His mother and a group of women stood nearby weeping. People walked by, and even the Jewish leaders, they pointed, they laughed, they mocked, they ridiculed. Amen. A thief on one side rebukes Christ or mocks Christ, but the thief on the other side is gloriously saved and has the opportunity to spend eternity with Jesus. A lot of things happening there that day. Amen. People shook their heads in unbelief. Jesus' wounds pumped out blood, and he suffered and he died. Amen. The very demons of hell converged on that place, and not with sword, not with spear, not with lightning bolts, but with blood pumping from his body. Jesus defeated every onslaught of every demon. Amen. Lots of things happened at the cross. A pagan, unbelieving Roman centurion looked at the cross and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God at the cross." All kinds of important things. But I'm telling you, the most important thing that happened at the cross was that Jesus took the sins of a rebellious, sinful people like you and I, and he bore our sins away. He satisfied justified the judgments of God and made possible that we could have eternal life. It only happened at the cross. At the cross. Hallelujah. I'd like to say at this communion service, for we believers, nothing that has ever happened to you and I, to you and me, nothing that's ever happened to us has been as important and significant and as incredible as what happened to us that time when we knelt at the cross. The most monumental event in your life as a believer wasn't marriage. It wasn't getting the job. It wasn't some award someplace. The most monumental moment for every believer, however long ago it's been, the most important date was the date that you knelt at the cross. And when you stood, you said, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. The blood of Calvary has far removed as darkness is. That's the most important date. Amen. Through the world, the cross is foolishness. Amen. To the intellectual, it's a stumbling block. Amen. But I want to tell you, to us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The problem is, so many even believers view the cross just as an entrance into this thing of living for God and salvation. And after we've come to the cross and been saved, then we move beyond the cross and we no longer have a need to visit there or kneel there. But I want to preach the next few moments. Amen. However long you and I have been saved, we never get beyond the place that we need the cross in our lives. Amen. You might have served God for 50, 60, 70 years, but you never get beyond your need to be at the cross of Jesus Christ. Why do we have communion once a month? Why is communion important? I want to put it very simply, because communion takes us back to the cross. Communion returns us to the cross. Amen. I'm preaching this morning. I feel the urgency of the Holy Spirit. But what some folks here need more than anything, you don't need more information to cram in your head. You don't need a new song. Amen. You don't need any of that. What you need is a return to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? It's because it's at the cross we reflect. At the cross we reflect. In Luke 22, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Communion is that we might not forget, that we may remember, that we might reflect on what he's done. Even that's the problem with too many. They wouldn't be lukewarm this morning. They wouldn't be complacent. They would not be worldly minded. They wouldn't be thinking of turning back. They would not be enamored with this world if they hadn't forgotten the cross. I'm telling you, when you remember the cross, you reflect on the cross. What is it? Reflecting on the cross is reflecting what Jesus suffered and why he suffered. Amen. It can only, when we begin to reflect, when we begin to remember, it can have but one effect on us. It'll soften our hearts with gratitude. Nobody comes to the cross and gets a fresh view and walks away arrogant and proud and hard-hearted and self-sufficient patient. If you come again to the cross and reflect and get a good look, it'll melt your heart into a pool of gratitude of all that he suffered, and that he suffered it for you and for I. I want to make this point, though there's many to be made. I just want to say, no believer who regularly, sincerely revisits the cross, no believer who keeps coming back to the cross will ever backslide, will ever turn back, will ever walk away from Christ, will ever find this world more attractive. Amen. If you revisit the cross, it does something in your heart. Peter said the person that lacks these things, 2 Peter 1:9, he's blind. He cannot see afar off. Why did he get in this mess? Why is he backslidden? Why is he lacking in Christian virtue? Because he hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sin. He forgot. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. I'm telling you, every time we partake of communion, it keeps us from forgetting. We reflect. We remember when he took our burden of sin away. We remember of all that he suffered, through. Amen. That we could have eternal life. I'm telling you, if you'll revisit the cross, you'll be freshly struck by how incredibly you needed the cross. How incredibly much you needed the cross. If you come back to the cross and reflect, you'll be struck once again about how bad sin is. I know I got a message to preach, but that's what's happened to our society. That's what's happening to our church. That's what happened to the cold-hearted once a believer. Amen. They have forgotten of how incredibly awful and horrible and wicked and dark and ugly sin is. If you want to know how ugly and awful sin is, take another look at the cross. Examine the suffering. He didn't die for mistakes. He didn't die for our foibles and particularities. He died because we had awful sin in our life. If you reflect at the cross, you'll be moved once again of how completely God loves you. One of the biggest lies Satan does is come to us and say, God doesn't love you. Look, reflect. What did Brother Michael read? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Oh, what love of God. Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Could I tell you one more time? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We reflect at the cross. Amen. When we see what Jesus did for us, once again we are filled with the desire to live our lives in devoted gratitude to him. I want to ask you, Americans, something. You see these folks that are stomping on flags, burning American flags. I'm talking about not in Iran. I'm talking about in our nation, railing against the Constitution, belittling and demeaning America and her history. Amen. Would they be doing that if they really reflected on and took into account the blood that was shed that we might have the nation that we have? The blood that was spilled that we might have the freedoms that we have? If they really reflected of the price of the blood, amen, would they be acting that way? Using the very freedoms that blood was spilt to gain. Using those freedoms to attack and tear down and destroy the very fabric of our nation. Amen. If they really realized it, would they be doing that? Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's the same with Christianity. Amen. Folks want to live as close to the world as they can live. They want to argue forever, seeing that it's okay. They want to live cold and indifferent and claim, would they really be living that way if they realize that Jesus shed his blood so we could be free from the world, free from sin, free from Satan, free from self, free from darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what happens at the cross? We reflect. And then secondly, at the cross, we repent. At the cross, not only do we see the high price paid for our sins, we see how awfully bad our sins truly are before God. You see, something happens when we get to the cross. You and I begin to see how selfish we've been. We see how full of self we can get. If you really come to the cross, you'll be aware in a moment of the lust you've been entertaining in your life. It'll happen at the cross. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? At the cross, we begin to see bitterness that we've allowed to creep up in our hearts. Things we hold against family members and brothers and sisters at the cross, they just come right to the surface. At the cross, we see those things, those times we've been angry and mean-spirited. We see those secret sins that we harbor in the dark places of our heart. All of those come to light at the cross. I want to tell you what will happen at the cross. We'll find ourselves repenting. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about as saved people, when we really come to the cross, when we sincerely hold these communion elements, we'll find ourselves repenting. God, forgive me of my worldly mindedness. God, forgive me of my lust. God, forgive me of what I've held in my heart against someone. God, forgive me of my anger. God, forgive me of my selfishness. God, forgive me of my unbelief. We'll find ourselves repenting. Why? Because we Christians, one of the things we do not want to do in this supper today, we do not want to partake of it unworthily. Now listen, none of us are worthy of what Christ did, but to partake unworthily is to partake of it nonchalantly, to partake of it not recognizing what Christ really came to do, to partake of it saying I love Jesus and holding on to the world. That's to partake unworthily. Amen. Paul warned us of that in 1 Corinthians 11. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Going to go bad for him, not discerning the Lord's body. At the cross, we begin to repent. We do not want to partake unworthily. Something else, at the cross, we don't want to put Jesus through the cross all over again. Now I know literally he'll not go back to the cross. I know that. Amen. But when we as believers turn in our hearts from holy serving the Lord and begin to sin and do things we ought not to do, it's just the same as if we dragged Jesus back to the cross and nailed him up there again and pierced his side again. Amen. In the writer of Hebrews, and Hebrews was written to those who were turning back. Even chapter 6, it says that if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again into repentance. Listen, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You see, we who have served the Lord, we recognize this. When we harbor things, refuse to repent, refuse to get things right in our life, it's like we're re-crucifying the Lord. Amen. Because the first time, amen, as far as we are concerned, was in vain, or we'd straighten up, we'd get rid of it. I'm telling you, we'll come to the cross, and at the cross, if we partake of the communion sincerely, it will not be long. We will find ourselves repenting. Hallelujah. You say, I don't like preaching like that. I want to come to church and be told that I'm about to reach my fullest potential and have my socks blessed off of me. I'm telling you, if you really partake of community, or a communion with gratitude and thanksgiving, realizing what it's all about, you won't have that attitude, bless me bless me, bless me. Give me more, give me more. You'll say, woe am I. I still need the cross. I still need the blood. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Hallelujah. Could I tell you this morning, amen, we cannot truly partake of communion without looking to our Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And then at the cross, we recalibrate. Most folks know what that word is, whether you're doing it with a software program or doing it working with tools. I was thinking not long back, I was cutting many pieces of something with my saw. And even with my naked eye, I could tell that those pieces were getting off. They looked like they were getting a little longer, a little crooked. I knew immediately something had changed. My fence had loosened and moved, or my blade angle had got changed, but something had changed. And you know what I did? I turned the saw off, and I got a hold of the blade, and I got my square, and I re-squared my blade. And I got a hold of the fence and I remeasured and put an extra clamp on my fence. You know what I was doing? Things had been getting off. So I got the measure out and I recalibrated. I want to tell you, that's what happens at the cross. Look, I'm preaching love this morning. I know you just feel it. Amen. But I want to tell you, with we Christians, things can get out of whack in a hurry. You don't believe me? There's some folks that have left the presence of God. I didn't mean to go here. I should have thought this through. But anyway, they get an argument on the way home. Right? Don't lift your hand. Just say, yeah. There's been folks, young people, lost what they got in the altar on the parking lot. I'm not being mean. I'm just using those as illustrations. We get out of whack in a hurry. Oh, I know that doesn't sound as good as the popular gospel. Folks don't like to be told they got out of whack. Well, I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes folks need whacked. No, I'm joking. I mean, we get our whack in our, we start seeing things that one time we felt were offensive to God. Now we say, well, they're not so bad. That's okay. We start thinking more like the world than like Christ. We start harboring desires that are carnal, self-centered. We nurse grudges. We gossip. We treat folks unkindly. Boy, we're a bunch of wicked people. If we wasn't, there wouldn't have needed to be a cross. Amen. We lose our passion and desire for spiritual things. We get out of whack. But I want to tell you something. Oh, hallelujah. When we come to the cross, at the cross, when we partake at communion, amen, the first thing that happens, we see how out of whack we are. Amen. Brother Norvell can be out of whack. His wife can tell him, and he really don't believe her. I can tell him as his pastor, and he really don't believe me. I'm just using this illustration. His friend, Brother Brock, can tell him, you're out of whack, and he's already got everything justified. And he said, I'm not, but I'm telling you, if Brother Norvell will hold those elements and come to the cross again, all of a sudden, he'll look up and say, I am out of whack. Amen. Things aren't right. In my heart, at the cross, not only do we see how our lives have gone askew, but at the cross, we have an intense desire to get things back the way they ought to be. Not only at the cross do I see that I'm wrong, but there is a desire. Oh God, I don't want it wrong. I want it right. I want it to be right at the cross. At the cross, I want to love God passionately again. At the cross, I want to place priority on spiritual things again. At the cross, I want to care about others more than myself and the kingdom of God more than my own kingdom. At the cross, I see what is wrong and I desire to be recalibrated. I say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. Oh, it's at the cross that we're recalibrated. How does that happen? Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know what Paul just said? He said, you can start getting worldly minded, but if you'll really revisit the cross, something happens. Your heart gets recalibrated. Oh, how many, just be honest, I've had it happen at the cross. I was saved, but my heart got recalibrated. Things were getting off, but he got me back on track. I want to say, because it's a concern of mine, I'll move on to a finish. But if we do not sincerely, whether we are young or older, if we do not sincerely return to the cross, return to the cross, return to, I know he's risen, I know all that. But if we don't return to the cross, we will become worldly minded. We will become cold and indifferent. But no person who honestly and genuinely visits the cross has that kind of spirit. They'll never have a spirit, preacher, you're not going to tell me anything. They'll never have a spirit, well, I can't get anything out of church. They'll never have the spirit, well, this is wrong, that's wrong with everybody. No, not when you've been to the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can tell when folks been to the cross. They worship like many of you were this morning in just abandonment. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when I've been to the cross, I don't hold on to any justification. I don't hold on to any self-claim and selfing. I let it all go at the cross. Hallelujah. I let boasting go, arrogance go, pride go. Amen. I'm not trying to argue I'm holy, I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. I don't try to argue my sins are right. When I've been to the cross, all of that goes. Amen. Because when I get to the cross, I see what's wrong. He helps me get it right, and I leave with nothing but an attitude of complete gratitude. Last of all, at the cross we rejoice. I said, at the cross, it's not all tears and repentance. At the cross we rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. The world don't understand that, but at the cross we rejoice. Is it pain? Yes. Is it death? Yes. Is it shedding of blood? Yes. Oh, but it's freedom, it's deliverance, it's eternal life, it's light in the darkness, it's strength in the weakness. It's a feeling of the emptiness. It's purpose for the purposelessness. It's hope for the hopelessness. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. Amen. In remembering that Jesus died to save us of our sins, we rejoice. Our sins are gone. Anybody here, can you rejoice your sins are gone? Hallelujah. Amen. Normally, I'd leave it to the devil, but let me do it just for a moment. If you're honest, everyone in here, whether you're 6 years old or 96, if you revisited your past, there are things that you are horribly ashamed of. You wouldn't want family to know. You wouldn't want your brother or sister. You're ashamed to this day. You ever did it, you ever said it, you're ever involved in it. Amen. An awful sin. Oh, but you've been to the cross. Hallelujah. And when you revisit, you can rejoice. That sin is gone. Hallelujah. It's been washed away. Amen. If you know anything about the reality of the gospel, you knew that you were under the wrath and the condemnation of God. Amen. Fitting of a sentence. Amen. Of being judged. Oh, but at the cross, the judgment of God has been removed and replaced with grace, replaced with mercy. Hallelujah. I said, we rejoice at the cross. Because though hell was created for the devil and his angels, we know without Christ, we were headed straight towards hell. It's not a myth. It's not a metaphor. It's not a legend. It's a reality. If it wasn't a reality, Jesus would have never come and died to save us from it. But we knew we were headed to hell. Oh, but at the cross, we can rejoice. We're not headed to hell. We're headed to heaven. Hallelujah. It wasn't religion. It was the cross that made the difference. Those that be singing in communion, would you come? Some believers recognize the importance of the cross at the beginning of their Christian experience. But as they grow in Christ, they begin to feel that there's now more important things we need to move on. But I want to say one more time, however long you and I have served Christ, nothing will ever be as important in our lives as the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you one more thing, because we're fixing to have communion. There's only one way to approach the cross. I said there's only one way to approach the cross: with broken spirit and bowed head. Aren't you glad to know he's near those of a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about our revisiting the cross. It goes for being saved. You don't march up to the cross in arrogance and self-possession. This will probably be one of those things that later I'll say, I wish I hadn't said that. You shouldn't grab everything that goes through the air. But I've given altar calls and watched believers walk to the altar with such self-possession and self-importance. I thought, you're not going to get anything from God. You don't almost makes you want to kind of help them out, push their head down. No, that wouldn't help, but it makes you want to. You don't come to God like that. You don't come to the cross like that. You come with a broken spirit and a bowed head. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll come that way, there'll be some repenting. There'll be some recalibrating. But you won't leave that way. You'll leave rejoicing. Head lifted up. Burden taken off. Joy in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad for the cross? I want to tell us believers one more thing. Right now, in China, there's a campaign to find every church that has a cross and take that cross off the church. They've already done it to over 400 major churches in one province. Get the cross. Here's why. Because the Chinese government has determined that that has become an evangelism tool. That people who raised in communism without God, just seeing that symbol has a power, and some of them are becoming Christians. They're going into those places and hearing the gospel. The symbol won't save you, but it can point you somewhere where you can hear the gospel. And the Chinese government recognizes the impact that just the symbol of the cross is having. They've got a campaign going, scheduled to go through the end of 2016, to go throughout China and take the crosses on every church. I thought, you know, it's something the Chinese government recognizes, the power of the cross, more than a lot of believers do. But being an enemy of Christianity and what is right, they're trying to get rid of the cross. Could I tell you one thing Satan would love to do for every one of us believers? He'd like to take the cross out of our hearts. He'd like for us not to take this communion service seriously. You know why? Because Satan recognizes the power of the cross. Oh, I said hallelujah. That's right. We may not tremble at the cross. I'm telling you, Satan does. Because in the cross, he hath triumphed. Jesus hath triumphed gloriously. He has spoiled principality and power and led captivity captive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan knows the power of the cross. He'd love to take it out of your life and replace it with some benign religious ritual or thing. I'm telling you what we need. We need the cross. Oh, I said we need the cross. Hallelujah. In the cross, be my glory ever. Amen. No wonder Paul said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him glorified. I'll glory in the cross. Hallelujah. As the servers come, amen, would you bow your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm coming afresh to the cross. Would you do it all over the building? I'm coming afresh to the cross. Forget your neighbor. Forget what time it is. Amen. Amen. Forget all of that. Amen. This is between you and the Lord. Lord, I'm coming afresh. I'm coming anew to your cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come with broken spirit. Come with bowed head and heart. And say, Lord, I come afresh. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to help serve and quit preaching. Oh, but Paul said that long list of ordinances that was against us, Jesus took it out of the way and it was nailed to his cross. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Those things that were against you were nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. When I talk about coming humbly, I'm not talking about letting the devil beat you up and the devil condemn you and the devil pester you. Amen. I'm talking about just realizing the reality of things. Amen. We ought to feel bad about those sins, but it's at the cross that they're taken away. If you're here, you don't know Christ. You can come now. You can come after communion to serve. Whenever, but I promise you, if you kneel here with a broken spirit and a bowed heart and say, oh Jesus, I'm lost and I cannot save myself. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. I've done things I shouldn't have done. Will you forgive me? I'm telling you, his blood. Oh, aren't you glad if we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse. I'll tell you what we need. We just need a new cleansing. Amen. We're preaching right now and making appeal to the unbeliever, but every one of us, oh, just to be cleansed, cleanse our mind, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our life, cleanse our desires, cleanse our motives, cleanse our attitudes, cleanse our perspective. Oh, aren't you glad you can be cleansed in the blood of Jesus? If you're here, don't know Christ, you can come. But the rest of us, as communion is served, we're going to reflect, we're going to repent. We're going to recalibrate, and we're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. we stand together. Amen. We hold the symbol, unleavened bread. He was without sin. He died for our sins, not his. Amen. Brother Quesada, would you pray over the bread, please? Amen. Let's partake with gratitude. Oh, sinless Lord. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Hallelujah. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Amen. Brother Begley, will you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Amen. Let's worthily partake of the cup. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we give thanks. Lord, we feel you at work in our lives. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Spirit of God, do your work. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Could we sing together? And as we sing, if you're here and you've not yet been born again, believed in the work of Christ that he did to save you, had your sins forgiven, would you come as we sing this as a church together? Amen. Well, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received. Amen. Let's sing again. Are you here? You need Jesus. Would you come? Folks will pray with you. Amen. We'll use this step as an altar. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Jesus has never pushed anyone away from his cross. Jesus never pushed anyone away from his cross. Let's sing it one more time. And this time, saints, rejoice at what's happened at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. And it was there by faith I received my sight. This service, let's give praise one more time, could we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to have hope. Church.